Warning, the following podcast contains coarse language and spoilers for the film and the title of the podcast.
Now playing.
I don't know if you know this about me, but I fuck Instagram models. Put that in the fucking podcast.
Movie reviews in 20 Qs.
Hello, good people, and welcome to the podcast Movie Reviews in 20 Qs, the show where we review a movie by asking 20 weird and wonderful questions about it. I am your host, Sam, and I am joined this week by two amazingly special guests, first of which is making a triumphant return to the podcast. He got so fucking blind drunk last time, he managed to have some decipherable shit, but he's back! He's back for another lockdown reunion!
Yes.
Tom, how you doing?
Wait, lockdown reunion? Yes, I am. I was saying to Sam just before recording that I actually don't remember a lot of what we did last time. Because I was so horrifically drunk. So that's good. But hello, yes, my name is Thomas, and I am back for another one to talk about a movie, which is what this podcast is about.
That's absolutely right. But, like, you do a history podcast, so of course you're going to come on and do talk about Napoleon, one of history's biggest figures, man.
It's a bit out of scope for my podcast in particular. Napoleon doesn't really factor into it too much. I got told, oh, we're going to talk about Napoleon. I was like, yeah, I'm into history, we can do that. And then he forgot to say that it was Napoleon Dynamite, and I've really been duped in this one.
Yeah.
Not really comfortable with it.
That's what we do here on the show. We lure people in and then just fucking get them when they're not suspecting it. Hey, speaking of which, the other person joining me, Tim. How you doing, Tim?
What's up, what's up, what's up, everybody?
I was going to say from the Provise Project, but you're like a man of many talents, Tim. Glad to have you.
Astrophysicist, also a philanthropist, philosopher. also have a lot of mahogany-smelling books in my bookshelf. No. My name's Tim Provise. I go by Tim Provise. Obviously, I'm a bakery connoisseur. I run a bit of a show called The Bakery Run on the internet, and I run a podcast called The Provise Project, which I put a lot of heart and soul into, just like you do. So both of you guys actually do. So I'm happy to be here. I'm happy what we're talking about, man. This is one of my favorite movies of all time.
Yes. So I like, obviously, sort of caught up with some of your stuff on Twitter and Instagram, and was just like, okay, this dude's legit, we need to get him on. And then when we started chatting, I said, like, what sort of movies are you into? And he threw out this one, and I was like, fuck, how have we not done this? This is like a movie I've seen a million fucking times before. Like, what about you? Like, tell us about your story with it.
I remember the first time I watched this movie, and I didn't find it very funny. I was like, this is the weirdest shit I've ever seen. But then when I watched it back, I kind of like, oh, I get that now. I get it. It's one of those movies where the more you watch it, the more you figure it out and see, and like you just find these little tiny tidbits of comedy, and that's what I loved about it the most. But I was like out of high school. I think I just finished year 13, maybe, and it came out, and my whole life after that was just dedicated to knowing more about Napoleon Dynamite and watching it over and over and over again.
Damn, we've got an expert. But
not really. No. I haven't watched it. Like, I watched it once in the last like month, but things will come back to me and I go, far out, that's right, I remember that shit, that's the best.
Yeah, absolutely. From one expert to a non-expert, this was your first time watching it, eh, Tom?
Yeah, no, I remember the first time I watched Napoleon Dynamite very well because it was 2 days ago. So I mean, I was familiar with you know, the I guess the key lines, the famous quotes, if you will. I didn't realize the film was I'm just gonna go and come right out and say it has no plot whatsoever.
No. But Tom, that's what makes it like immortal, is that these guys that made this movie gave zero fucks about anything. They did. Yeah, it's almost like, you remember when you used to go to school and then you'd cut the magazine like a pee out of here. And your mates. The movie is like that.
It is. That was the thing.
Making ransom letters exactly like that, man.
I found it. Part of what I found it funny was how, like, you're watching these guys film these, like, you know, you're watching these scenes or whatever, and you're thinking, fuck me, what's it like to be these guys filming this scene with this idea that this is going to be an entire movie just with, like, basically no plot?
Yeah.
At the start, I was just waiting for where's the plot hook? What's the major conflict or whatever? It just never fucking comes. It's just
ever.
See, this is the best part about this, is we actually have a new rule that whoever's watched the movie the most recently, which is Tom, has to give a plot of this film. So I love how much you've just been digging your own grave here, boy. I can't wait to hear what you think the plot of this movie is. Go on, enlighten us.
I don't know what the plot is.
For those of you playing at home that aren't planning on watching this movie, Tom's going to hit you with a plot.
Oh, fuck. Okay, so the plot is... There is... It's set in... It's set in post-1982. We at least know that. But yeah, so it follows the story of Napoleon, this kid called Napoleon Dynamite, who's extremely awkward, and his, I guess, misadventures... Question mark?
Are you Googling it? Because the plot under Google is Napoleon, a socially awkward teenager, gets caught up in his dysfunctional family's misadventures while trying to help a friend win the class presidency.
Okay, I'm not Googling it, but I did read that, so maybe that's where that's coming from.
You're channeling it.
But I remember when I read that, I didn't like the fact that they said it's about him trying to get his friend the class presidency, because that doesn't come in until like the last third of the film.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so it's not really about that at all. It's basically just him going around living his life. It's a slice of life film.
Coming
basically.
Of age. Coming of age. There we go.
I don't know if I call it a coming of age film, but
an age of coming. There we go.
An age of coming. I don't know if anyone was doing that in the film.
Kip definitely was. Holy shit.
Oh. We'll get on to him soon. I mean, that was the most compelling arc of the entire film, if I'm honest.
Anywho, what we'll do...
There's so many good bits in it. Sorry to interrupt. There's so many kind of like spaghetti timelines that come off on that. Like it's almost quite Game of Thrones-esque, you know? There's so many of these intricate, really deep characters. Okay, we're talking Rex Kwando. Okay, we're talking Kip here. We're talking all these, and you just get invested because you're like, how fucking weird are these guys? But I'm pretty sure that it was set in like the early 2000s, just because of the internet and things like that. But then you look at how they dress, and it's like there's nobody that dresses like this in the early 2000s. They're dressing like Uncle Rico's got like, you know, the most craziest shit on. And so it's very... I think that adds to the intrigue.
Tim, I grew up in Tiaumudu, bro. That's how we were dressing until now.
See what I'm saying?
Until yesterday.
So it's very middle America type, stuck in a time warp shit.
Absolutely. The pertinent details for this film, it had a budget of $40,000 and made $45 million.
It had a budget of $40,000. That does not fucking surprise me.
I've got a little bit of trivia that I'm going to drop later about where half of their budget came from, which is quite fucking bizarre, but I'll talk about that later. If you haven't heard this podcast before, what we do is we review a movie by asking 20 questions about it. We start with 10 that can be applied to any film. We then move into 3 that we thought of while watching this film. Then finally finish on either a listener question or a Patreon question. And this week it's a Patreon question, so we're going to drop that at the end. The one we start with is the compliment sandwich, which is one thing good, one thing bad, and one thing good about this film. Unless we want to give it a shit sandwich, then it's one thing bad and one thing good about this film. Or, and I'm suspecting maybe for Tim, we get the hyperbole sandwich, which is a score over 10,000 out of 10,000, and then we give something good, something great, and something good about this film. So, he's grinning, he's smiling, he's chomping at the bit.
Love it.
Tim, why don't you start us off? Why don't you give us your sandwich?
Here's my sandwich, man. I'm going with the hyperbole right here.
Yay!
Okay? All right. I'll tell you what. The first thing, it is the middle finger to all of these big multi-million dollar Adam Sandler comedies. And there's nothing wrong with them, but yes, it was like, yeah, I mean, Billy Madison, Happy Gilmore type shit that is untouchable. Mm. But what I'm saying is that like, it is the middle finger to all of these ones that are like, hey, we've got this small budget, let's just make what we can. That's what I like the most about the movie, is that it's obviously budget, and it's the underdog. It's the underdog movie that nobody asked for, but they got. It's that Taika Waititi type, kind of like awkward funny, that a lot of people don't really see a lot of. Now, yeah, I get it, the plot's a bit fucked up, But that just adds to the intrigue and to the how special this movie is. Like, it's a very weird, funny, and there's not a lot out that are like that. And I just think that's why I love it the most. The characters are great. Like, Napoleon Dynamite is the undercover hero of the story, which you'd love. You're just like, this guy is so fucking, he struggles with so much social things going on in his life. And yeah, and the other thing too, and this is going really deep about this, there's a lot of bullying that goes on in this movie. Like, there's a lot, like, Napoleon's getting bullied, there's other people, everyone's getting bullied, and, you know, it's the underdog kind of taking over thing. But there's also a lot of racism that goes on in this movie too, because Pedro comes in here and they're all like, oh, we don't want to eat chimichangas all day here, Pedro, you know, and that kind of stuff. And, you know, you kind of, it hits it in a way that's not confronting, but it shows that this is what actually happens in Middle America. I absolutely love it. And that's my hyperbole sandwich.
Is the score out of 10, boys?
We're going to go 99.99999 out of 1 million.
What?
I don't know if that made any sense.
Not
we're
at
going
all
at a freaking gross. We're going sweet bike out of 10 on that one. You got a sweet bike? Nunchuck skills. Nunchuck skills and ninjutsu skills out of 1,000.
That's amazing. All right, Tom, time for you to eat some ham.
Yeah, I knew both of you guys would be going for at least a compliment sandwich, so I went for a shit sandwich to just kind of just even things out. But it's quite personal to me. It's not necessarily because the movie's bad. So I think my score would be 499. Yeah, 4999, which I think is the highest score I can give it without going over.
Correct, yep.
Into a compliment sandwich. Because I do actually like the film. I did think it was good. But for one bad thing, it reminds me of high school. I fucking hated high school. I saw a lot of my sort of shit that was happening in my high school in that movie. Not necessarily the rampant physical bullying, but just like the general vibe. And I hated high school. So I was like, ooh, a bit uncomfortable with that. But one good thing was I could see myself in a lot of the characters. I think that's what makes it quite endearing. But on the flip side, and the bad thing, I can see myself in the characters, which I think is kind of bad. I don't think you're necessarily meant to relate to Napoleon Dynamite and his struggles to just generally interact with people. But I did. And that for me was like, that feels wrong.
Tom's having a bit of PTSD. fuck it. I was going to go hyperbole sandwich, but since Tim's already taken the glory out of that, I'm just going to go have a compliment sandwich. Yeah, the good thing, similar to what Tim was saying, man, I love John Heder in this. He's fucking amazing. He's so, like, perfect as a weirdo, and unfortunately, he was that perfect that we haven't seen him in Jackal since. You know, he did Blades of Glory, but we haven't really seen him much in that, and it's like, how do you follow up this when you crush a role this hard sort of thing? The bad thing for me is, like, the film has a ton of other no-names in it, and there's a reason why they're no-names, and they've continued to be no-names. There's some of the supporting cast here, but, like, oh, fuck, this isn't, like, the greatest acting I've ever seen. And then my good thing, the plot makes fuck all sense, and I don't give a shit, man. I don't give a flying fuck. Similar to what Tim said, first time I watched this, I was like, who the fuck likes this film? Same thing when I watched Anchorman, I was like, who the fuck likes this film? Every viewing after that is like, this is the fucking funniest shit I've ever fucking seen. And even now, even like however many years on, it's still awesome to sit down and watch this and go, oh yeah, that's right. Oh yeah, that's right. So 9,999 out of 10,000, it's up there,
and
man.
Here's another question too. Have you ever seen anything like close to this awkwardness of funny?
No, like you brought up Taika Waititi and...
Yeah, that's the only time, right?
He's a bit like that. But what I quite liked about this is... I am physically incapable of watching The Office. It is too awkward for me to watch. But I didn't get that with Napoleon Dynamite, and that is very much to its credit, is that it was really awkward, but it was still really funny, and I didn't feel like that empathetic, or whatever you call it, awkwardness that comes off The Office.
The reason why I think that is that Napoleon has a self-awareness. Like, he even says, like, what girls am I going to take to the dance? Like, what am I going to do? He has a self-awareness of, like, who he is and what he, like, his place in the universe sort of thing. Whereas, like, those other shows, those other American shows, they typically, like, awkward for the sake of awkward, but they've got no self-awareness of themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, certainly. Mm. Yeah.
Cool. And that moves us over to question number two, the first of our Patreon questions. This question comes courtesy of our mate Emily Higgins of the Tasteless Podcast, an awesome podcast that compares two films. One that gets way too much love, in her opinion. She compares that to a film that she thinks is a little bit underrated. Typically, they're underrated for a reason, because the films are pretty shit. But anywho, what's your question there, Tim?
So here's the question from Emily. Shoutouts to you, Emily.
Thanks for the cash.
Yes, basically.
Yeah, I see zero of that cash, but I still got you. I still got you, Emily.
Hey, when KFC opens, bro, you let me know. I'll get you a delivery.
Oh man, I'm here to try and steal Emily away from you, man. Emily, come to my Patreon. Emily asks, what character has probably gone the longest without showering? Ooh, that's a good one. Emily, you should have your own podcast. What, you do? You do have your own podcast? Man, I can understand why now. Damn, Emily. So Emily, here's how it goes. I reckon it has to be Uncle Rico. Like, Uncle Rico lives in a freaking van, bruh. You know?
That's what I said. I think it's definitely Rico. I don't know if that man's ever fucking showered in his life. Like, he is the dirtiest motherfucker in this entire film.
After he did get chucked into that game, the coach was like, hit the showers. He was like, nah, fuck that. Never doing that ever again.
Oh, man. He probably wanted the time machine to go back to the last time that he showered.
Yeah.
And just to, you know, see what it felt like. Because that's what I think everybody has to agree with that. Is that Uncle Rico is probably the most muskiest motherfucker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. He was up there. My only other one was like the old dudes that run that chicken farm. There's that one old dude who's like.
And I think it's the same dude. But the dude that shot the cattle at the start.
Oh, yeah.
You know what? That's the same guy.
Yeah.
So that's him. It's one of those ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's up there. Do
the chickens have large talons? That one. Sorry, guys. I'm going to drop these little tidbits the whole
time. I have no idea what you just said, boy.
Anyway, question number three. What is it there, Tom?
What completely unimportant life lesson did you learn from this film?
Did you guys know that you can use cargo pants to store Tato Tots in?
That was fucking gross.
That's fucking...
I'm not going to lie.
Hey, Napoleon, give me some of your tots.
Get your freaking own. We could just do a live reading. Pretty fucking
much. What a fucking power move from the bully, though, to just kick the fucking pocket. Like,
and they were still crunchy, too.
This was the funny thing. Like, he's like eating them out of his pocket, right? And they've been in there for like probably an hour before he's eaten them. And then the bully kicks them, and then suddenly he's like, oh, I guess now they're ruined. And I'm sitting there like, you've had fucking potato crispy shit in your pocket for an hour. Why are they ruined now?
Exactly.
They were definitely ruined by being in your pocket for an hour.
Yeah. Now they're just mashed up a bit. Like, fuck, it's not going to make a difference.
The funniest part of that scene is no words. It's just when he goes, oh, at the end of it.
Yeah.
He doesn't say nothing. He just gets kicked, and then he goes, oh. It's the beast, man.
I think that's also what's really good about the film is American, just to, again, to get a little bit deep in there, is American films, American comedies don't tend to be very good at physical comedy.
Mm.
That's normally the domain of British comedies. Normally they're really good, like Mr. Bean and stuff like that.
Mm.
And I think, this one having a bit more physical comedy, like him just kicking the pocket full of tater tots. For me at least, that really appealed to me. Mm. So
I know that we say that there's no plot and stuff like that, and there isn't, but there are these kind of like, there's these parts that come back, and you're like, the more you watch it, you think, oh my gosh. So like that guy that kicked him was the same guy, and he was like, he's talking about the illegal moves that, like, Napoleon was talking about the illegal ninja moves he knows from the government. He's the same guy, so I'm like, wait, he kicked you? And then he's like, you don't use none of your ninja skills on him? Come on, bro.
Yeah.
You know, he kind of calls him out on shit. It's these little connections that you don't figure out until you watch it like 2, 3, 4 times. And then it just, it's one of those funny movies that,
Definitely.
What about you guys?
For me, it would be, I'd never want to use a time machine to go back to high school because I fucking hated it. That's... That's the unimportant life lesson. I don't think I'm going to ever encounter a time machine at any point in my life. so I was like, I should probably use that for something better than going back to high school where Uncle Rico thinks his glory days are.
Yeah, fuck that.
Which they very much were not for me. So
my one is to avoid any type of jealousy for people that are chatting online with babes. You know, never be jealous of any babes. You know, if you're sitting on the computer all day talking to babes online, and also don't try and mess with anybody that's training to be a cage fighter, like Kip was.
Yep.
I mean, he got his ass handed to him by what was his name again?
Rex Kwon Do,
that's right. He got his ass handed to him by him.
Oh, yeah. Well, Kip was... And that's the thing, it's that lying that they just continuously do. Like, Napoleon probably learned all his lies from Kip. Because Kip lied the whole... That's how we got La Fonda. Because he lied the whole time.
Yeah.
He was like, yeah, I'm a cage... I'm training to be a cage fighter. You know, I'll write some poetry for you. Like,
yeah. But that was... I think that was the good thing, is everything else in the film... Like, they lie for the entire film. And for everyone else, like, nothing really changes necessarily. But for Kip, La Fonda, like, again, having not seen this movie before, I was like, La Fonda's definitely, like a man, like a seedy man or something. Like, definitely not an attractive woman. And, you know, she comes out of the bus and it's like, oh, shit, like, that's legit. And, you know, and, like, he actually ends up being okay for himself, you know?
Yeah.
Then, and saying that, though, Rico gets a happy ending.
Yeah, that chick just comes out of nowhere. Which I
didn't really get that,
neither.
If I'm honest.
We did hear a line that he's broken up with his missus. Like, we hear that a couple of times, and like, Charles, she's left you.
Yeah, but
you're living in the past or whatever.
It's not really clear whether that's her, though.
No, it's not.
Is the problem.
Nah. Yeah.
And here's another part, too, right? Is that, yeah, Deb is all angry, right? She's all angry at Napoleon. Then he does the dance, and then all of a sudden she's not angry anymore. Like, I'm like,
yeah.
Wait a minute, is that all you have to do is just dance? Like, I don't get that.
I mean, have you ever danced like that in your life, Tim? Like,
never. I could never. I would never even, you know, just putting that up on the pedestal, I could never reach that, you know?
Exactly. I mean, yeah, you go to the clubs and you're just like...
Cosy Club, RSA, that's where it's at.
Yeah.
You know, they don't dance there. Just play pokies. Play pokies and have a skull.
Real easy to approach them when they're sitting down, bro. Real easy. Anywho, let's move us over to our next question. This is also a Patreon question. This question comes courtesy of our man, Chris Yenny. Fuck you, the man, bro. Chris would like to know, what song would you guys have inserted into this film and where? And we try to be as on the nose or as obvious as possible.
I think it needs to be the Karate Kid music. You're the best around, and nothing but that. When he's like, sweet, he's like, grab my arm, the other arm, no, my other arm. And then he's like, sweep the leg. That bit, and he just slaps the shit out of him. And as soon as that slap happens, instant cut of the song. That would be my one.
I like that.
Yeah,
mine would be one of the scenes I really liked is when he gets picked up, when Napoleon is going to the dance, and he gets picked up by Pedro's cousins.
Oh, yeah.
Should I say, quote-unquote, cousin. But I thought that scene was really lacking in terms of music. I thought that could really be taken to a next level with a bit of early 2000s music. So I thought maybe playing Drop It Like It's Hot by Snoop Dogg during that scene might elevate that scene to another level.
Makes sense. My own one would have been when La Fonda shows up on the bus and it just starts blasting out Marvin Gaye's Let's Get It On. I would have been like, fuck yeah. Here we go. Here we absolutely go. Kip is about to get
some. Bit of Barry White or something.
Yeah, Barry White. Yeah.
Meg the Stallion, whap, whap, whap. On the phone. Hit it, drop, put it, snap. That's the Monday. Time machine.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Check some Cardi B and Megan Thee Stallion.
Whoa. A little bit too much pussy and crack in that bloody drink bottle there. Jesus. A little bit of whap, whap, whap. Gonna whap that off the side of your mouth, bruh.
Moves us over to question number 5. Was it there, Tim?
Number 5. How would you incorporate Nicolas Cage into this film? Going with you, Thomas. How are we doing this?
I went through a few different versions of this, thinking maybe making him Uncle Rico might be quite funny, which I thought would be quite good. But I eventually landed on making him one of Pedro's cousins. I thought it'd be quite funny, just for absolutely no reason. Partially because, of course, Pedro is Mexican, and his cousins are Mexican. So I thought it might be quite funny just to have Nicolas Cage in there as a white guy, just there for no reason.
Yeah.
But also because Pedro's cousins don't say anything for the entire film. They have no lines. Pretty much their only interaction with other people is, I think they give a bit of an East Coast wave, and I think they shake Napoleon's hand right at the end of the film. So I also thought it'd be quite funny just to have Nicolas Cage just have no lines and just interact by body language for the entire film.
My wife, who long-term listeners will know, absolutely hates Nicolas Cage. She would be loving that answer. You know, give him no lines. It's perfect.
Give him no lines. Just make him barely interact with anyone. But also because, like, there's that awkward scene where they're just driving in the car to the dance.
Yeah.
I think that'd be funny if you've just got Nicolas Cage just, like, you know, at the steering wheel. Just like, why is he there? What's the point of this? And then, of course, they only have two scenes in the entire film. So I also thought that'd be quite funny. Just give Nicolas Cage two scenes in the entire film just for no reason at all.
I love that. The one I would have had was just basically being Rex Kondo and just like Nicolas Cage just delivering that line of, you think anybody wants a roundhouse kick to the face while I'm wearing these bad boys?
Grab my hand. The other hand. Your other hand.
And I would have, like, we'd love seeing a Cage rage. I would have loved seeing a Cage rage at the end where he shows up and finds his missus sitting in her house with fucking two pots over her boobs, and Rico just, you know. Like, just seeing Nicolas Cage lose his shit, that would have been awesome.
So good.
I would have liked Nicolas Cage to end up being the grandmother's, like, boyfriend.
Oh, yep.
Like,
right, there we go.
And he just shows up, you know, and he's just cutting steak in the kitchen, and he's just chilling. And then, you know, he's just in the background, and then Napoleon's like, who the frick are you? And then, you know, he goes in a bit of a monologue that's way over the top. And that's where I would put Nicolas Cage.
That is good.
I like that as well. That's awesome. Moves us over to question number 6. This is also a Patreon question. Comes courtesy of our man, Nutrivert. Okay, Jason, you're the man, bro. What's this question there, Tom?
Hello, Jason. Thank you for the money.
Great.
At what point during the movie was the perfect time for a bathroom break?
Ooh.
Tim, what do you think?
Before I answer this, I just want to give a shout out to Jason as well. Jason, brother. Well, I've got your attention. You know, shout outs to you, my G. I think probably, it's hard, man, because there's so many of these funny little bits that happen.
Yeah, I struggled with this question as well, just to interrupt you there. I was like, it's hard to come up with a time that I felt comfortable leaving the film to go have a piss, you know?
Thomas,
so I struggled with this film as well.
Thomas, I just want to say this. Don't ever, when I'm talking to Jason, do not ever interrupt me again, okay?
I'm sorry, man.
Shout out to you. Thanks, Jason.
I realize you and Jason have a special connection. I'm sorry.
We do, mate. We do. Thanks, Jason. Follow me on Instagram and
if you like and support my show, you can find me.
Yeah. Anyway, shout out to you, Jason. What a great question, Jason. In my head, I'm thinking I would go to the toilet after the your mom goes to college. When that line happens, then you've got a little time between when things start ramping up. But whenever you hear Kip, oh, your mom goes to college, and then you just move from
Scarpa. Mm. Yep.
Yeah.
The one for me is, like, there's a scene where Kip and Rico go bowling and then they go have their photos taken with Deb. And it's like, it doesn't really contribute that much to the story. So I was like, you could probably, if you're like me and it doesn't have far to travel, you could probably piss within seconds. Yeah, it's just like, it's a good part of the story just to nip off, basically.
Well, if you're like Jason and you've got a humongous penis, you know, just throw it out the window. Shout out to you, Jason. What was the biggest dick move in the movie? Well, obviously when Jason was watching the movie,
and great segue.
He just threw his dick out the window. That's a fucking amazing one. Shout outs to you, Jason.
Thanks, Jason, and thanks for your huge dick.
Yeah, absolutely. Cheers, man. Cheers.
The biggest dick move, I think, was someone giving the note back. I mean, like, there's no need to be a bitch about it. just gently lay him down. You know, he's put himself out there. You know, it's a hard thing to do. And you know, she's just a fucking bitch about it. There's no need to do that.
She is pretty brutal.
Yeah.
The one for me, I mean, like, fuck, Uncle Rico has his moments, but I think pulling up beside some teenage girls and, hey, do you guys want to get breast implants?
That was fucking weird.
Or like a push-up bra, whatever the fuck he's trying to offer, I don't know.
I think it was supplements.
Yeah, supplements.
That was the vibe that I got.
Something like that, yeah, to make their boobs bigger. Too. That was a bit weird.
Yeah,
I needed to go too. Uncle Rico, when he says, how much you want to bet I could throw these football this football over them mountains, and then he throws the stake and hits Napoleon straight in the face.
Yeah.
That bit was pretty fucked up.
Yeah.
like he was just doubling his mate, and then he gets a stake thrown at his face. But the other one, and this is gonna be controversial, okay? That's why you bought me on this podcast.
Absolutely.
To be the controversial guy. I reckon Pedro's a bit of a dick. Okay?
That is controversial.
Because he was like, hold up, he was like, he knew that Deb was trying to get with Napoleon, right? And then he's all like, hey, should I ask her to the dance? And Napoleon, being the guy that's never been there before, he was like, oh yeah, sure. That's a bit of a dick move, man.
Yeah, I think that's a controversial take, but you know what? I agree with you. That is 100%, that's a dick move.
Mr. Steal Your Girl right there.
Yeah.
Coming out here trying to steal his midi. Come on now. Yeah.
Definitely. But I think that going back to the steak thing, that's a huge dick move. But on the other hand, holy shit, it is so funny.
Yeah.
I think it was arguably one of the funniest moments in the film.
Easily.
Is when he gets hit with the steak. Because it's so insane.
It's almost enough to make him the true MVP of this film. Maybe. Yeah. Maybe that's my answer to a later question. Who knows? Who fucking knows? Who knows? Anyhow,
Napoleon gets his back though when he has the grapefruit.
Yeah,
and they're like standing off, and he's like, yeah. And then he hits him good with it.
He does.
Anyhow, that moves us over to question number 8. This is also a Patreon question. Comes courtesy of our man Nick Haskins of Nikolai's Kitchen, awesome cooking podcast. You guys should all check out. What's his question there, Tim?
Is this Nikolai's Kitchen?
Yes, Nikolai's Kitchen. Yeah, absolutely.
Is he the one that did that amazing chicken curry that was on a couple? Oh, Nikolai's Kitchen, get in there. Anybody that's on it, I don't know if he actually did that, guys.
He did the tikka masala. You're up there.
Sorry, the tikka masala? Is it the tikka masala, Nikolai?
Yeah, that is him. Yeah.
Bro.
That's the one.
It's the one. He's the man.
This about me, guys. I don't know if you know this about me, but I'm an influencer. Okay. I know a lot of girls. I know a lot of models on Instagram. Okay. All right. Okay. Here we go. What type? This is a great one, especially from Nikolai's Kitchen. What type of meal is this movie? Can I start? Is it all right if I start?
Yeah. Go hard. Go hard. Yep.
It's a rump steak with nothing else on the plate. Just a rump steak. You know, it's not too busy. It's just what it is. You can't take it up. But then as you cut into the delicate meat, all right, the delicate. And if you need any help, guys, cooking a steak, I know where to go. Nikolai's Kitchen. You cut it. All right. But on the inside, it's Wagyu. Oh, it's the rump steak of a Wagyu.
Oh, yeah. So
that's what I'm saying is this nice movie. Marbled. Looks on the outside like it's just a piece of steak, right? There's no extras with it. It's a piece of steak. When you cut it open, it's beautiful. And yeah, that's what I reckon it is.
I went for like one of those huge burger eating challenges, like one of those like giant burgers that you look at and you know it's American. You know it's American. At the same time, you look at it and go, fuck, that's weird. And then when you finish it, you're like, oh yeah, no, that was worth it. That was good.
Yes.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, that's pretty good, actually. I like that. I went for one that I think Tim might mildly appreciate.
Oh,
a bit more of a Kiwi spin on the question, which was a soggy pie from the microwave.
Whoa!
You know, it's not appealing necessarily from the outside, but like you get into it and you're like, actually, this is pretty good, and this is what I needed right now. You know, because no one's eating soggy pies from the microwave because they necessarily want to, but because, you know, that's what they need at the time. And you know, I think that's what this movie is. It's not necessarily when you see it from the outside and you go, I'm not going to watch that movie because I think it looks like shit. But when you do watch it, you're like, actually, you know what? That was pretty good and I enjoyed it.
Makes sense. Hey, staying on you, what's question number 9?
Question number 9. What was the most preposterously insane leap of logic in this film? That was very hard to say. There's a lot of big words, particularly when I'm...
That's the idea, is to piss off people and try and make them read some shit they can't handle.
I'm so glad you didn't ask me to read
that. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, I'm quite pissed.
Yay, there's our first! If people that listen to the Pirates of the Caribbean episode will remember that Tom said that about 40 times.
Not quite as bad as I was last time in the Pirates of the Caribbean film. But in case anyone is keeping score, which I'm sure is all of you, ladies and gentlemen, I've reached that point. I'm a bit
yay.
Pissed, so
awesome. The one for me is that when his grandma comes off that dirt bike, that she only breaks your coccyx. I was like, man, that woman is a smudge. You know, she's like flown about like what 10, 15 meters in the air. Like I get she's going down the side of a sand dune, but man, there's not going to be much left of her after that.
No, especially like if my nan did that, I mean like that's like a good like 20 bones that are gone right then and there, you know, like,
yep.
You know, she's just coming down hard, you know, she's like at like a rave.
Yeah.
You've taken a heap of drugs and you know, and you're getting to like 2 a.m, you're coming down hard.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's where she's coming from.
Absolutely.
My logic, Tina the llama was, you know, severely not looked after, and I'm wondering how she still was alive at the end of the movie. But also how the dance just changed. Like, I'm like, how the fuck is dance going to change so much? Like, after the dance, everything changed. It was almost like the Thanos click.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Everything changed.
Yeah.
You know, it was like, everybody likes Napoleon now. Oh, he did a dance. They all clapped for him. It was like, bro, he did an embarrassing dance.
Yeah.
That, in logical terms, if that happened in high school, bro, they would get mocked and laughed at and humiliated. But all of a sudden, everybody was like, yes, yeah. Gave him a clap. So that was a little bit illogical to me.
Absolutely melted hearts and minds. It was fucking bullshit.
Yeah.
Oh, that was so good, though.
It was.
Mine was that, I mean, I know we've talked up Rix Kondo quite a bit so far. But for me, it was that he was able to break Rico's arm. I got the impression that Rex was a bit of a... I mean, I'm just going to come out and say, I've got the impression that he's a bit of a pussy.
Whoa!
You know, like that whole scene with Kip and he's just like slapping his head and shit.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, oh, this guy's not even like... You know, this guy's a grifter.
Yeah.
You know? Like, he's not even like legit. And then he comes out and like breaks Rico's arm. Then again, Rico also strikes me as a bit of a pussy, so, like, maybe it was just the greater pussy lost out there. You know, maybe that was what it was.
The weaker of two pussies, I get you.
The weaker of two pussies, yeah.
Anywho, that moves us over to question number 10. Fan favourite, what quote from this film would be the worst thing to hear immediately after you finish having sex?
Okay, if I'm honest, I took a bit of creative liberty with this one.
Yep.
I went... The worst thing to hear after you've been given a blowy was when she says, this tastes like a cow got into an onion patch.
God damn it, yes. That was mine. That was absolutely mine.
Oh, jeez. I don't think I can back that. I don't think I can get anywhere close to that one.
No. I'm like, legitimately, this tastes like the cow got into the onion patch. That was like my one by miles. The only other one that I had was like, if you turned to your girl and said, how was that? And she just goes, the worst day of my life. What do you think?
Shit.
Okay, cool. That moves us over to our personal questions that we thought of while we were watching this film. Tim, as your first time on this podcast, you get to lead us off. So, yeah, what do you got there?
My first one is around, what would a prequel be? If the prequel was about Uncle Rico, what would it be called?
It's got to be The Fantastic Voyage. That's all.
He's
living out of his van. That's his life. You know, we see him living in a field in a van. It's got to be The Fantastic Voyage.
The vision that I had in my mind was like a documentary style thing of how like his kind of fall from grace, if you will, of not being put in the game. So I thought it would be called One Missed Shot, The Uncle Rico Story.
That was the
idea that I had was like a doco or something. Yeah.
My one would be Once Was a King. Okay, it's all about how Uncle Rico was just a, you know, kind of like a Joker type mental illness type thing where he thought he was a king. And then all of a sudden, you know, everybody's just laughing at him. And Uncle Rico isn't exactly who he thought he was. All right, sign me up. Mm. Let's go.
This is some dark shit, man. Fucking hell.
Well, let's be honest. He's pretty much a pedophile. Like, he lives in a van. He says things to fucking, you know, like, ooh, you like some boobs with that soft body. Remember that bit when he was, I was like, damn.
I was very uncomfortable during that scene.
To catch a predator, that's what I'm going to call it. To catch a predator.
But that's, I think, just going off that, I think that's one of the things that's quite good about this film is it had a lot of opportunity to be extremely dated.
Yeah.
And it doesn't really. Like, that's the only scene probably the entire film that I'm a bit like, ooh, you wouldn't get away with that in 2021.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But the rest of it is like, yeah, that's pretty funny.
There's the part where Summer, this is the part I reckon would be like that too, is the part where Summer, like, pretty much throws shade at, like, Rico, Pedro for being a Mexican. And
that's true.
I think that would be the other part, when she's like, we don't want chimichangas for lunch every day. And then it's like, damn, girl, you racist as fuck right now.
Yeah.
And then,
yep.
All right, next question. Here we go. If you could choose any type of action figure to throw out of the out of the school bus window, which one would it be?
I was a big Action Man fan when I was a kid, so that was my answer. Or maybe Action Man's not-so-well-known cousin, which is Max Steel. I was also a big Max Steel fan when I was a kid, so...
Pretty sure Max Steel is a fucking porno,
Action
bro.
Man,
Max Steelington.
No. I had the Max Steel villain action figure who had a metal arm, and then it like comes out and it has like a gun inside.
Oh, that's Wayne really Wayne cool. King, isn't it?
Yeah, Wayne King.
Eric Chen.
And then I had the car. There's a little car that comes with, and you sit him in the car.
Was it a fake taxi? Or was it a... Was it a taxi one and it was fake?
Was it a taxi? You open the boot and there's like a whole missile launcher in the back.
What type of missile launcher?
Cock rocket.
What brand? Could you get them at Peaches and Cream is what I'm asking.
Peaches and Cream, I mean, maybe. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what Peaches and Cream sell, so maybe. But I also, I hadn't either. I definitely don't know what Peaches and Cream sell. I've never been in that shop.
I've got to say, man, like, I love that you asked this question, because one of my first notes that I wrote down when I was watching this film was like, fuck, what did this action figure do to Napoleon? First thing I wrote down.
That was the thing, because this scene is very early in the film. It's like the first or second scene in the film. And so I was just like, what the fuck is he doing?
Yeah. It introduces you to how fucking weird he is.
Absolutely. Yeah. And especially given that kid's just said to him, what are you going to do today, Napoleon? Whatever I feel like, gosh. And then he throws the action figure out the window wrapped with a fucking fishing line around its head. It's like, what the fuck is going on here? The one for me is, like, I grew up loving Transformers. Transformers was my jam. That was my favorite show. That and He-Man growing up as a kid. Fuck, hated Starscream. Fuck that asshole. I would have chucked him out the window and dragged him behind the fucking bus. Whiny bitch.
You took my one out of my... I was actually going to go with a Transformer as well. But it wasn't going to be... Starscream's a very intricate... There's a lot of things going on and stuff. You know, he's jealous. He's all these things.
Oh, he's a well-developed character.
He's amazing. But I'm going to go with Jazz from the Transformers. One of the most shit Transformers ever. Okay? Jazz is this dumb little... it's like an ambulance bus thing. Okay? Or I'm going with Snarf from
yes!
I don't know if anybody knows Snarf. Snarf from the popular series...
Thundercats.
Thundercats.
Thundercats, yeah.
He's the little kind of cat little thing.
Snarf, snarf.
Yep. Snarf, snarf. Or I'm going with Matif from the popular Captain Planet, who has the dumbest ring of all of them for the heart ring.
Do you know what the funniest
his power is to make people feel sad or happy.
The funniest part about this, Tim, is like we've gone 100 and, I don't know, whatever, 70-something episodes, and we're a movie podcast, and like 7 or 8 times now we've brought up that dude and how shit his power is. He sucks.
What's going on? Come on, mate. Give him something else.
So bad.
Yeah. So, yeah.
That's, that would be yep. That's definitely showing a bit of the age gap, though, compared to you guys.
Sorry about that, you little millennial.
Yeah.
You little Gen Z.
I'm not quite Gen
okay,
Z.
Okay, Zoomer.
I'm a millennial.
And the last one, what would you use the time machine for going back if it did work? Like Uncle Rico wanted to go, this is my third question, Uncle Rico wanted to go back for obviously glory purposes, but what would your one be?
The one for me is back in 2010, 2011, living over in London, went out for a few beers, blah, 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 with all the workmates and shit. And we had this like one weird IT dude that used to like sort of hang around. He was trying to prowl on the Aussies and South Africans and Kiwi girls pretty much. But like no one ever wanted to talk to him because he was always real weird. I remember him cornering me in this bar and he was like, Sam, I've got something to tell you. I've been meaning to tell you for weeks now. You should buy this stuff called Bitcoin. It's like 5 cents a coin and it's the way of the future and shit like that. I remember being like, fuck off, you fucking creep. I don't want to fucking hear this shit. And then going home and thinking nothing of it. Thinking absolutely nothing of it. And then one day waking up and was like, hey, did you know Bitcoin's 24 grand a coin? I was like, God fucking damn it. There was my chance. There was my chance, guys. There was my chance to not be doing this podcast, to be sitting on a beach somewhere doing sweet fuck all. Blew it. Absolutely blew it.
Instead, you're here talking to us dickheads about movies.
Yeah. Time of my life. No regrets. No regrets.
Mine was actually a bit more in relation to my podcast, which is something I've been doing recently, which is talking about Māori food and how pre-European Māori were, what they were eating and how they were eating and that sort of stuff. And that naturally makes me very hungry. So I would like to actually be able to use the time machine to go back and taste things like moa and other extinct species that we can't taste anymore, or eat things like kākāpō or kereru, which are, apparently are also very tasty, without the, I guess, the shame of eating an endangered species. So I'd like to go back and eat extinct and endangered species and see what they taste like. Were they actually any good, as lots of people say? Who knows?
I love how you want to go back and eat these things, not bring them back to the future and repopulate them around New Zealand. Nah, fuck that. I want to go back and eat the fucking
things. No. That's butterfly effect shit. We're not about that. True. I just want to sit down with some guys and just have a good, you know, give me a leg of moa. Maybe not that much. That's quite big. But, you know, like, give me a bit of moa. Just want to see what it tastes like, and then I'm good. That's all I want to do.
Fair enough.
For me, I think going back and just telling myself, my younger self, you know, just, hey, mate, you're a funny dude. Use that to your advantage and stop trying to be tough, okay? Stop trying to be a tough guy, okay? You're actually funny, and people like people that are funny. And just to say, hey, if you ever get into the future and you're going to do this show called The Bakery Run, and you're going to do one in Wellington, there's this guy, Thomas. Don't get him on. Okay?
Just don't get him on. It's a terrible episode.
Just anybody. Leave it. Just whoever. Just don't get him. Okay? No. I'm joking, Thomas. It was a great episode, brother. But yeah, that would be my one.
And that moves me over to my questions. First off, yeah, I've sort of had a bit of a play of one of the quotes from this film, but how much would you guys want to make a bet that Uncle Rico can't throw a football over them mountains?
3 bitcoins.
Going up by the second or down by the second, depending on when you listen to this.
I mean, my answer is we never heard the full story. You know, like, we don't know if he can throw a football over those mountains. We just heard he was never put in the game. You know, that's an unknown when it comes to the timeline. You know, we don't know what would have happened. So maybe he can, and he never tried. So we don't know.
Fuck. All I'm saying is I'd remortgage my house, man. I'd take out every single fucking dollar the bank would give me, and I would make that bet. next question. Realistically, would you guys have actually voted for Pedro?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I think just on that dance alone.
Yeah.
You know, if another man is willing to get out and dance like that for his friend, must show true integrity that Napoleon has seen in this man.
Yep.
Sort of thing. And he stopped a lot of bullies.
That's exactly it. Yeah. Like, I don't know what Summer was offering, but Pedro was offering protection, man. Like, he was offering hella protection.
I mean, absolutely. I think he's the, even if you ignore that, he's the meme option. Yep. right? You know, he's the option where you're like, yeah, fuck it. I mean, I don't like this prissy bitch that's standing up there, you know, being racist and shit. I want the dude that just does basically just doesn't give a fuck.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know?
Not to mention, too, like, his cousins are, like, Uber before Uber was invented. Like, they are the most, like,
yeah.
Deus ex machina of, like, showing up and, hey, you want to ride? Yep, can I go to the ball? Yep, cool. It's like, what are you guys doing out in the middle of fucking nowhere? Might have been one of my preposterously insane leaps of logic, by the way, but, hey. Anywho, moves us down to my final question. 5 years on from this movie, what do you guys reckon Kip is up to? Because last we see of him, he gets married to LaFonda, and then he jumps on the bus with her and he's off. What do you reckon he's doing?
I think, you know, Kip's, even though he goes through a bit of like a transformation throughout the film, you know, of course, he starts out being this nerd and he gets, you know, his whole dress changes, his whole attitude changes. Which, by the way, the pause where he's like talking to, the first time you see him in this costume and then he's like talking to Napoleon and then it's like this pause and he's like, peace out. And he just like leaves. So good. But I like to think he's still kept kind of true to his nerd values. And I like to think he's running a small computer repair shop or something like that.
Okay.
You know, he's just, you know, he's like, he's still dressed the same way. But he's just like, you know, yeah, like, you know, bring in your old Apple II or whatever. And I'll fix it up, you know, I'll fix the monitor, get it going or whatever. Yeah, I'll put some new RAM in it, that sort of thing. You know, that's I like to think that that's what he's up to. Something a bit more wholesome, I guess, you know?
Okay.
I think, this is my personal opinion, I think that Kip goes to Detroit, okay? And he becomes a battle rapper and his arms get sweaty, his knees get weak, He goes by the name of B-Rabbit, and he battles Papa Doc in a underground street battle at 8 Mile.
I love that.
That's where I'm going with that one.
I love that so much.
LaFonda gets shot in a gang shootout.
Oh, no!
Oh,
no!
And then he goes on to, you know, he goes and gets revenge. That's my thing. And he loses himself in the music. The moment he owns it, he never let it go either.
See, I fully just saw him going like full Scarface, you know, like he moves to some city and then just becomes like this massive drug kingpin of that city. Like he just goes full gangster. And then like the sequel would be Napoleon showing up there and he's like, Napoleon, the city is a pussy just waiting to get fucked.
One of the greatest quotes on any movie.
Yeah.
There's the sequel that we need.
Yeah. Scarface, the Kip story.
It's so good.
Say hello to my little friend. You think you can fuck me? You think you can fuck Kip?
Oh my god. Oh, that got me good.
Watch Scarface way too many times, I fucking care to admit as well. Anywho, that moves us over to Tom. What's your questions here, Tom?
My first question is, what would be your skit/talent to show after your presidential speech?
I reckon I could do a Big Mac in 3 bites. maybe 2.
That's lofty.
No, actually, definitely 2. I could do a Big Mac in 2 bites.
Do you wanna just open your mouth just a bit? Just give us a.
Hey, that's what your missus told me the other night, man. Have you been going through our DMs?
might have been.
You opened that gate. I'm just saying, like that gate was closed until you opened that up. And that's also what I asked your missus to do the other night as well. So anyway, yeah, that would be my one. I could eat a Big Mac in 2 bites. What about you there, Thomas?
I actually did do something at a talent show. Ooh. Once. Was my primary school, which I had a very big period.
What?
And I kind of still am.
Hey, what the fuck?
I had a big period.
That's amazing.
What the hell?
What pronoun do you go by? Can you let us?
Heavy flow.
There was a time in my life, and even still now, where I was really into magic tricks. Particularly, I was really into card magic. So I think that'd be my talent, is doing magic tricks, and in particular card magic. It was like basic maths. It's pretty underwhelming when you know how the trick works.
Yeah. For me, I have surprising amount of rhythm. I can dance, so probably dance. Maybe not as dance as good as Napoleon. Like we were talking about before, that's next level. At the same time, like I won speech competitions at school. So like us, like many of us podcasters, I have an incredible like ability to talk endless amounts of shit and to make it sound believable, relatable, all that sort of shit. So probably that. Give a rousing speech, you know, fucking something like that. Probably not now when I'm a little bit drunk, but, you know, something... Something decent.
Well, I mean, that's the other disadvantage is, of course, you'd have to do that in front of people.
Yeah.
You know, and us podcasters, I don't know about you guys, but I was told I have a face for radio. So, you know, that's the other disadvantage if you have to do it in front of people.
Mm.
So, my second question was, Uncle Rico is, a lot of what he does during the film was trying to sell, initially it's like Tupperware, and then he tries to sell breast-enhancing supplements or something like that. So my second question was, what would Uncle Rico sell if it was 2021?
Have you guys been hit up to buy Isagenix, which is like a health supplement that's, okay. Yeah. Maybe
no.
Maybe you're not putting up the photos of yourselves on Instagram that I'm putting up. It's like fucking just predatory, multi-level marketing pyramid scheme shit. I reckon he'd be totally into that. Some sort of healthcare / Isagenix bullshit. That would be him, man, through and through.
And I think we need to give Uncle Rico a little bit of credit here. It wasn't Tupperware bowls, okay? The new point fiber woven bowls. get it correct.
Sorry, that's on me.
I think in 2021 he'd be the guy trying to sell you follows on social media. He'd be like, yo, yeah. I can get you verified in like 4 days. If you just sign up with me, he's that guy. Yeah.
Yeah, that is him. Yeah. That is him.
My answer, though, was, I guess, a bit topical. So this will date the episode a little bit. But I get the feeling that Uncle Rico would do anything for a buck, basically. So I think he'd be selling you ivermectin, is what I reckon he'd be selling.
Shout out Joe Rogan podcast. Joe's on it.
Shout out.
Joe Rogan. Yeah.
I don't know if anyone's ever heard of the Joe Rogan podcast, but apparently pretty popular.
As well as 20 other different things that have absolutely also not been proven to cure COVID.
Oh, man.
Muppet.
And my third question would be, if you were running for class president, or as I put it, class prime minister, because we live in New Zealand and we don't have a president, what would your campaign promises be?
Sharpen pencils, okay? Because we live in New Zealand... K-bars, I'll be like, okay, guys, everyone here gets a K-bar, okay? Now, I'm going to enunciate that word so nobody gets it confused. K for kitten, bar, okay? Awesome Redskins. Now,
oh yeah,
I'm going to say that again. Not Redskins, not the actual, I'm not being inappropriate to any of the... listeners that are Native Americans. We used to have a lolly that was called a Redskin, and I don't think they sell them anymore, but I would say
no, yeah, surprisingly not. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I used to put them in here on my teeth and use them as like, and when we used to box and used to be like, yeah, either those, some lollies or maybe a jolly drink or a jelly tip, and I would say, hey, listen guys, you'll get this every day if you vote for me to be your class prime minister. And then I wouldn't do it. I'd just be like, stuff yous all. Thank you for your votes. Up your ass. And then I'd be out there.
I win, motherfuckers. See you later. Absolutely. The one for me, yeah, very much topical for New Zealand is like, I want to give the people what they want. We've seen the queues. I'm going to offer free KFC on Fridays. Yeah, I'll bankrupt the school in a week. I don't give a fuck.
You've got me.
Yeah.
You've got my vote, bro.
When I was at high school, a couple of kids decided when I was in probably 10-ish, so I was about 16 at the time, and they decided to try and compete with the school canteen by selling chips and drinks and all sorts out of their lockers. They were promptly told by the teachers, maybe you shouldn't fucking do that because you might get in trouble. And so they shut down their operation. So my campaign promise would be to protect the rights of small business owners, which would be those kids selling chips and lollies and drinks outside of from their lockers. You know, we can't be stamping out innovation and entrepreneurship in an economy like this. I feel like we need to be encouraging people to try and put forward their money and try and engage with the community by coming up with these ideas.
You get my vote, Thomas, because I used to sell a lot of things at school. We're not going to really go into it, but I was quite the entrepreneur.
Yeah, but a few ciggies? Is that maybe what it was?
Brother, you don't want to know, mind you. Okay, I was quite well known in the circuits.
Yeah?
Yeah, but hey, you guys, I'm legally obliged, I'm not allowed to say anything to that.
Right, that might be after the recording.
Yeah, yeah, it was before I was I was still a minor at that time, so it doesn't count. Yeah.
That moves us down to our last question of the podcast. This question comes courtesy of our man Dan Brennick of the Netflix and Swill podcast. Netflix and Swill is a podcast that covers all things Netflix related. I was on recently to talk about the new Witcher anime film, which was fun. I love Witcher.
Ooh, is it good?
It's really good. I'm not an anime fan, so this was like
foreign
territory.
That is surprising. Okay, that's good. Mm. Anyway, sorry. Let's talk about
what was the question?
Netflix and Swill's big dick. I believe that's what we're doing.
Absolutely.
Now.
Dan's got a massive schlong. So moves us over to his question, which is, who is the true MVP of this film? And it can't be the lead.
If it's not Napoleon, it can't be Deb. No. Can't be Pedro. It has to be Kip.
See, I have to disagree with you there. I do like Pedro. I like Pedro a lot because he's just chill as fuck. You know, he's just, if you ignore the whole, you know, stealing his girl thing, which I do think is a dick move, I think he's just chill as. I think he'd be the kind of guy I'd just like to hang out with, you know, play some games or whatever, and just chill out on a Friday night with my bro.
Do some jumps on his bike. Yeah.
Do some jumps on his bike. Fuck, that was, not gonna lie, that got me so good when Napoleon just gets hit in the nuts.
Yeah.
Got me so good. But yeah, you know, like, I think he's just chill as.
Cool. And that takes us down to the end. Thank you to these two guys for joining me. It's been an absolute fucking blast talking about this movie. Plug your guys' stuff. Tom, you go first. Give us a chat about...
Hello.
Yep, Hans. Give us a chat about that.
Yes. Yes, I do a thing called Hans, which is the History of Aotearoa New Zealand podcast, which is, dare I say it, much more serious than this.
Just a tad. Just a little bit.
I talk about the history of Aotearoa New Zealand, which is very much what it does. It does what it says on the tin, which is it is a chronological and narrative history podcast of New Zealand, going from before people arrived to New Zealand all the way up to, eventually we'll get to the year 2000. But at the moment we're in the pre-European Māori period. There's about 70? Yes, no. As of time of recording, my next episode will be episode 69, which I'm sure we're all happy about.
What's the theme for that?
For the next one, it'll be cooking. At the moment, we're talking about pre-European Māori cooking, so what they were eating and how they were eating it and that sort of stuff. And eventually, the next after that, what I've got planned is board games and things like what Māori were playing before New Zealand's national sport was rugby. There was a couple of different ball sports before that. So that sort of stuff, as well as other things about, what Māori culture was like, tāmoko, carving, social structure, all sorts of other things. And eventually we'll get up to like cook and all that settler colonial shit as well. We'll eventually get to that. But at the moment it's pre-European Māori, which is quite exciting and quite an underexplored part of New Zealand history in general, really, which is quite exciting and fun, particularly for me because I don't know any of this stuff. So it's quite good. Mm. So that's what I do in my spare time.
Absolutely. On to you, Tim. Tell us about all your shit. Well, there's a lot of it.
I host the Provise Project. We have 3 episodes a week. My podcast is all around chatting with local interesting people. Yeah, had some really cool guests on lately, and it's a very cross section between it's a fish out of water type podcast. There's somebody that's from the hood like myself, and then they put me, and then I speak to somebody like John Campbell or somebody like that. So it's quite cool. Yeah, and then I have the bakery run that comes out every 2 weeks, every Monday, every second Monday. We're currently in Wellington. Me and a guest go to bakeries around New Zealand, and we try their pies out and rate them, and that's going really well. I also do a show called The Shack, which is a comedy series on Instagram, and mainly on Instagram, with one of my good friends, Regan, aka Just the Norms. It's kind of like another kind of awkward comedy where it's two bros trying to do a podcast out of a garage, and some real out of it shit goes on. I've got Keeper 100 coming up, which is a government-funded show around debunking talks around the vaccine and things like that. Yeah, might be on radio soon. We'll see what happens. But I know there's some other stuff I'm probably forgetting. But yeah, you can catch me on Instagram, The Provise Project, Twitter, TimprovizeNZ, and that's me.
Sweet. We'll have links down the show notes.
I just like to put myself in there. I really like the stuff that Tim does. Keep it 100. I think that's going to be really exciting. I think that's really cool. I think that's going to be really worthwhile to do. So yeah, I'd highly personally. I know my opinion doesn't necessarily mean jack shit, but I think what you do is really cool. Oh. And I really enjoy your content and stuff. So
thank you so much, bro. That means a lot. Yeah, it's slowly getting there. It's cool to just talk about stuff like Napoleon Dynamite, like, you know, like
yeah. Yeah.
And so I'm very thankful and humbled that I got invited on this podcast. So thank you so much, brother.
Oh, awesome. Absolutely.
Yeah, thank you, Sam, for inviting me on again. Yeah. It's always nice to know that when you've been on a podcast, they don't think you're a sack of shit and they actually want to invite you on again.
Hey, lockdown, man. Things get desperate around here, you know? My YouTube boys are out fucking being locked in their own little bubbles, so.
This is really scraping the bottom of the barrel.
Yeah, no comment, eh? No, you guys have been wonderful. Like, I always knew you guys were going to crush it, and you have. But that takes us to the end. Thank you again to our Patreons for supporting the show and keeping the lights on.
Yeah, Jason and his massive dick.
Shout-outs to Jason and the Mandingo. Let's go.
Oh, my God, he's going to be fucking in heaven. It's going to make his fucking day.
His dick will be huge after this, if nothing else.
I'll tell you what, Jason is going to be the biggest fan of me after he listens.
He is.
Jason, if I don't get a DM from you, I'm going to be so fucked off. Okay, I put the truth out here. Come on, all I want is like, hey, man, thanks for saying that I got a big dick. That's all I want. And then send me a picture. Shit.
Oh,
On that note, I don't even know what the fuck my usual segue is. If you want to get in contact with us, best way to find us is on Twitter, where we are our most prolific. You can find us at Movie Reviews In. Alternatively, just find us on Facebook and Instagram at Movie Reviews In 20 Qs. And that's thanks from me.
Thank you very much. See you later.
Cheers, whānau.